The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate The Force Awakens, one minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And I am Crystal Beth from the Keep Calm and Game On podcast. Whoa, switched it up.
Nice. Leave us guessing. Welcome back, Crystal. The Queen of the Minute podcast is what they call you.
Oh, I have so much fun with everyone, and I miss them all. I haven't been able to talk to anyone in such a long time with my new job.
Long time.
Long time.
New job.
Well, thanks for coming back. Thanks for taking time out of your busy new job to come in and chat with us about Minute 97 of The Force Awakens. Minute 97, it starts off with a brief shot of the tree line on Starkiller Base before the Falcon comes barreling out of the forest, and it ends a minute later with FN-2187 telling Han he's only there to get Rey. I like this whole landing sequence of the Falcon. It gives a nice physicality to it.
That's my first note was the physical Falcon.
Now that's Falcon. All a practical effect, right? They built a life-size Falcon and
they just catapulted it,
crashed it into the trees.
I got to say, for the most part, it does look realistic. There's one or two moments where it's just like, I don't know if they did it with, you know, and it's good that I can't tell if they did it with, you know, total CGI or miniatures or whatever. But the there's a couple of moments where it looks a little off. I don't know if it's a scale thing or a snow thing. I'm just like a brief hesitation on my suspension of disbelief, but overall, I love it.
I'm always surprised at how flat the Falcon is.
Right.
It's so flat and skinny, and I never realized it till it's like on the ground, exactly like this. And you guys mentioned what your first notes were, and my first notes were Harrison Ford's been training for this crash for years now. Because of his regular real plane crashes.
When I was watching that scene of them, you know, in the cockpit, and I would just love to see like the dailies of that thing, which is basically like Harrison Ford and the guy who plays Chewbacca now just kind of like jumping up and down in their chair, like they're, you know, very Star Trek kind of thing. Like, okay, you're really getting jostled now. You're really getting jostled.
Well, I think it is on little like hydraulics, so it can mm-hmm. shake, it can shimmy
like springs.
I think it's hydromatic. Yeah. It's automatic and it's systematic.
I'm always amazed at how much the Falcon can go through.
Yeah,
I would think it would sustain a lot more, like at least a broken window in this
in this
crash here, but no, it's in good shape.
It bounces.
Everything that could have broken off has already broken off.
Yeah.
Well, until, of course, they blow it up.
No, I don't like the joke.
That was an old joke that my friends and I had with when the Falcon was leaving Bespin, and it was like, did your men deactivate the hyperdrive on the Millennium Falcon? And why wasn't it like, did your men break the windows on the Millennium Falcon? And then just cut to, you know, like Lando and Leia and Chewbacca in the cockpit, and there's just a garbage bag taped over the window. It's like, yeah, like they try to fly
away. That'd be awesome.
Well, since we learned about the existence of parking boots in the Han Solo movie, you have to wonder why they didn't do that on Bespin, just have it so they couldn't leave at all.
Right.
But,
well, maybe they're outlawed. Like, Lando won't have them at all because he's been on the wrong end of them so many times that he was like, sorry, we don't have any parking
boots. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I don't believe in them.
We have to go all the way back to Coruscant to get parking boots.
Let's just deactivate the hyperdrive.
This whole crash also, it reminds me of, I don't know if you guys saw Star Trek Generations. Did you guys see that movie?
Did not.
It's not one of the Star Wars movies, so I didn't know if it was one.
I don't remember it well.
It's pretty bad, so it's, but one of the things that happens in it is that we see the Enterprise, the classic Next Generation Enterprise, take a very similar, saucer section.
Oh, right.
Crashes onto a planet, and it's, you know, very similar type of thing where it's, you know, this big disc sliding around on the on the planet. And it kind of, I don't think it comes to the edge of a cliff, but that part reminded me of Temple of Doom because that's, you know, when they go off the cliff in the life raft. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of crazily unrealistic things, but anyway,
is that where Mr. Data says a dirty word?
It's entirely possible. when he walked out of it.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any other cool crashes? Any other cool spaceship crashes?
No, but now I'm thinking. I'm sure somebody has done this, right? Where they have either in fanfic. No, wait. The size I'm sure doesn't line up, but basically, the replacing the saucer section of the Enterprise with the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
someone
it, like, separates that. And then it somehow docks with a Millennium Falcon into that saucer section. Like, the main...
Oh, yeah. I've seen what you're talking about.
The warp nacelles and the little battle bridge there connect to the Falcon.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I saw it in a very specific spot, and I cannot remember where it was, but it was a hard copy. Like, I did not see it on the internet. I saw it, like, on a poster or something that one of my friends had.
Interesting.
It seems like it should have been done by now.
Yeah. I don't know. You know who I would... maybe J.K. has done it. J.K. Woodard has... seems like the type of thing that he might have done at some point.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to look that up for our weekend or for our weekend review show.
Okay, cool.
And write that down.
Well, here is the aforementioned. We talked about Kylo Ren doing a Darth Vader and just kind of in the middle of talking about something. And he's talking to another stormtrooper or an officer, I think it is here, who just lets them know, like, oh, we didn't find her in 718, but he's like, all right, put every hangar on lockdown and do the Han Solo. And like he just like stops and looks and says Han Solo.
And the guy's like, Jeremy. I'm Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good at acting interrupted.
Right.
You know, some people it's a little too clunky when it's a little obvious when they get
right
like that, see.
I want to see the officer going back like, I don't know, he told me to Han Solo. What does that mean? What am I supposed to do? I just said yes, sir. I don't know. Like, I didn't want to ask a question.
He wants me to handle it solo, but he didn't say what it was.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, he would have such anxiety for the rest of his life.
Right. Which is only about 20 minutes. So.
Yeah.
So this is the... Crystal, do you want to guess? Do you want to take the over-under on how many times this is some character saying Han Solo in full? Not just Han, not just Solo, not... But Han Solo.
Captain Solo.
None of that. Just Han Solo.
Just Han Solo.
Yeah. How many times will... So including this Kylo Ren suddenly breaking into it.
Oh, man. I want to say like 2.
No, this is number 11.
11? So weird, because every time I picture it, I picture anyone just saying Han right. or Solo, but I know Jabba says it.
I mean, just in this movie.
Just this movie, they say it 11 times, and yeah. I don't even notice.
Yeah, this is the.
Oh, that's yeah. right. Because every single person that sees him, every soul that walks into a room that he's in, says his first and last name.
Right. Well, that they had
that's
a whole
right.
discussion about it with the when they first get they first find him. They're like, "You're Han Solo." That whole thing.
Yeah.
And Kylo Ren likes to say it, and Maz Kanata, she, you know, like, Han Solo. Yeah. Like, and
the Snoke says it. Her whole, everything shuts like, up. That's right.
C-3PO is like, goodness, Han Solo.
BBH says it.
BBH
that
says
one
it
doesn't
all
count,
the time.
Right?
Yeah. He's just like, Han Solo, Han Solo, Han Solo, Han Solo. Yeah, so this is number 11 of people saying Han Solo in its entirety. I think there's at least one more. We'll see.
There's gotta be. There's gotta be.
Does Han yell
Luke
his own
end,
name?
Say, hey, where's Han Solo?
When he falls down. Han just yells Han Solo as he falls.
Yeah. He's like, Han Solo out!
I've never seen Han Solo.
Oh,
he dies then. Speaking of which, I can't believe they didn't, after the Millennium Falcon comes to a screeching stop, I can't believe they didn't cut back to the cockpit and have someone say a snappy one-liner after that. It seems like such a natural place for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like another happy landing or something along
goes
those
to Obi-Wan
lines.
Just pops out of the refresher, like another happy landing, and it goes back.
Oh, I like the idea of ghost Obi-Wan haunting things and popping out like in random moments.
Oh,
like the
gosh.
Greek Gazoo.
Yeah, totally like the Greek Gazoo.
That would be fun.
So somebody, I'm going to throw this out to if somebody wants to make a fun video, just throw in Ghost Obi-Wan into wisecracking through all of this movie.
I like that.
and then
we should do that and get the super ego James Bladen to do the voice.
Sure,
he's a good Obi-Wan. Anyway,
so after they say Han Solo, we see Han Solo. Because if you say something, see something.
Solo.
What?
It's like Bloody Mary.
Yeah, exactly.
You say his name 11 times, he appears.
And he just shows up. You know, we were talking about how that's kind of a new, kind of modern thing. Storytelling-wise, where it's like, say the character's name and then cut to them. Like, I can't recall them doing that a lot in the original trilogy or the prequels even.
Mm-hmm.
And then this, I feel like a lot of the time it's just kind of, you know, say the character's name and then cut to them. You know, like, where's Rey? Cut to Rey. Or like, you know, Han Solo, cut to Han Solo. Like they.
That's because we're really wondering.
One time in the prequels. Yeah.
You can think of a time in the prequels?
I can think of a time in the prequels at the end of The Phantom Menace when they're at a funeral for a Jedi. And,
oh, right.
And they go, who died was the master or was it the apprentice? I think that was Samuel Jackson saying that. And then they cut to a, you know, grinning Palpatine.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
So, but that one, I guess, theoretically, the audience is not supposed to know it's him. So it's kind of a clue that it's him, you know, but anyway.
Yeah.
But the audience does know it's him.
Yeah. Crystal, do you think the prequels are meant to be watched in... Like, episode, are you meant to watch Star Wars 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc.?
No.
Okay. I'm glad we saw
that. Was
yeah. No, I think that Star Wars should be watched the way it comes out, because if you start watching it, there's so many little tie-ins and little baby Easter eggs to the original trilogy that when you start watching that, you won't understand them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think Crystal would have been here if she wasn't a firm believer in release order? Obviously, we have a screening
that is on the entrance exam. Yeah. It does ask that question.
I just like all of them.
So do we.
Yeah, they're good. Star Wars, not bad. So when we do cut to Han Solo, Han and Finn and Chewie are kind of making their way into trying to infiltrate Starkiller Base. And one detail that I liked is that Finn tells them they're going to get in through a flooding tunnel. And so as we can get to that flooding tunnel there, or the flooding tunnels on the other side of that ridge, we can get in through there. And the flooding tunnels are because the beam melts all the snow on the planet, and all that water has to go somewhere, and so it's a flooding tunnel.
That's so smart.
And I like it. I like that it's something that makes sense, and it's not, they don't have to, they just, I don't know. It's a good thing where they mention it, and it's like, oh yeah, duh. You see snow, see snow kind of melting, and then you have a flooding tunnel.
Yeah, so that your equipment doesn't go underwater and then get ruined, because I bet it's expensive.
Because they did that once. It was the first
Yeah, the first shot.
And the whole thing got flooded, so they're like,
yeah, and that engineer's dead now.
Right. He drowned.
What we need is sort of a little exhaust port to let all the water go out.
Right. Like a thermal exhaust port below the main port. Oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's nice that it seems to have a practical, I mean, as impractical as the whole idea is, that they have these kind of, you know,
given the ridiculous pseudo-practical nature of circular beam, this makes sense.
Yeah. We get to see Han in his winter jacket, his winter coat here, right?
It's a good coat. It's like a very nowadays coat.
It is not the Hoth coat.
No.
This is our second Han Solo winter gear outfit we have
now. It's not the Heath coat either.
You would think they would have kept the Hoth coats in storage for another snowy planet so that they were camouflaged.
I think as soon as the Empire fell, they just destroyed all the rebels. They like trash all those X-wings. That's how Luke's X-wing got in the water there, because they were like, we don't need these anymore. You know, like, and then just dumped it all. Everything.
Oh,
they blew
gosh.
Up all the bases and all the Mon Calamari ships and 2-1B and everything.
The Maria Condi method. They just were like, thank you. And then just threw it all away.
Yeah. These no longer bring us joy.
Yeah.
We were defeated. So.
We'll never need these again. Right.
And then this is where we learn that Finn's previous occupation was in sanitation.
<Ba-da-ba-ba-ba>.
Now, I have a question about this whole setup, and I'm sure this has been this potentially has been answered. And if I read Finn's lengthy Wikipedia page, I would know this. But was he still sanitation? Like, was he on Jakku to clean up after the raid on the village, or was he sanitation on Starkiller Base and then got promoted and became a regular stormtrooper on the finalizer? Was that next level?
Didn't Phasma say it was his first mission and then his first offense?
Right. So
I would imagine it was a promotion.
Okay. So he was just like, he was an officer or something, like a technician, like he was just walking around in... in like, you know, Mitaka clothes before, or was he,
or maybe it's like an ensign, you know, like with the Navy, they have E1 through E3, which are privates,
right?
And then E5 and up are better. And then as you get, like, you move up and up, you know, get more stripes and maybe get your stormtrooper outfit. But if you think about it, the E1s to E3s have the same uniforms as everyone else, just without the stripes. So I'm wondering if he still has a stormtrooper outfit on, but just doesn't have the authority to do anything else. Like, he still had to clean in his regalia.
Right.
He has to wear it while he's cleaning? That seems, like, cruel.
I mean, built-in knee pads, man. That sounds great.
Or maybe he's, like...
I think...
His job is to, like, oversee, like, to guard sanitation, basically.
Yeah.
If he was a stormtrooper, maybe he's one of those guys, he just stands there holding a blaster while the other guys sweep up.
I mean...
Yeah, I'm in charge of sanitation, meaning I get the people and make them clean before I kill them. I think it's the kind of thing where they, like, everyone has to put in time, you know, boot time. Like, so if you're a cook, if you're a janitor, if you're like once a year or whatever, how often you have to go out in the field and at least, you know, do a little bit of fighting to maintain your discipline. And this was his, like, first, not his first one, but,
it was his first
they
one.
Were like, this will be, okay, well, so there you go. Then they're like, this will be an easy gig. Let's just send all these are all, like, I bet everyone else in his crew was all, like, the other janitors, you know, they'll just do them all at the same time.
janitor squad.
So,
well, that being said, I don't know. Did you guys ever see Aaron Brockovich?
No.
No.
This does tie in, I swear. You know, the guy that she ends up getting all the information from was the cleaner that they asked to throw away all the papers, and he kept all of them. So really, the sanitation, that's the real badass job. That's how you save the world, by cleaning.
The real heroes.
Yeah.
Well, since janitor, my impression of this sanitation line is that this was all done just for this one joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what bugs me about it. Like, there didn't really seem to... Nothing about his demeanor says, oh, I was a janitor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing, like... We don't see him doing any kind of fixing or anything. So the fact that they just kind of said, oh, I'm a janitor, it's just... It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I believe it. I mean, we also don't know what their sanitation means. It could be like, he could be just the person that wiped the grease off of him. Well, then again, he doesn't really clean anything else.
I think also there was some people who were complaining. There's an element of like, oh, of course, the black guy is a janitor. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, here's a hero. And oh, look, he turns out he has this silly, inconsequential job because, of course, you know. So I think that's also... It seems to undermine his heroic, you know, sense to have it be this kind of throwaway gag.
Well, he's not,
but I
heroic
guess
maybe, at all right now, really.
No.
Well, I mean, he was fighting stormtroopers before and doing all sorts of
right
hero-y stuff.
But it's mainly self-motivation, I think, self-preservation.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Being selfish.
Right. And so this we're learning more about him, and it's more consistent with his, like, he's not the one.
Yeah, it also, he was raised by people that are selfish and mean and horrible. That's all he knows now. Look out for yourself.
Well, yeah, but his whole thing is that he's trying to save Rey.
Right. Well, himself and his one friend.
In a way, his thing reminds me of Anakin, because Anakin's whole thing was like, I don't care who I endanger, I don't care what, if it's like it's the rules, I'm gonna marry Padme and make sure that she doesn't die in childbirth, you know. And that's Finn is kind of the same thing. Like, I don't care if I tricked you to get you here, telling you that this is a mission, but it really has nothing to do with that. I'm just here to get Rey, and you know, I don't care if you succeed or not. So
he's such a sneaky little bee.
Mm-hmm. So, Crystal.
Yes.
I know it was a long time ago. Do you remember the first time you saw The Force Awakens?
Yes, I do. It was in New York City, and I was so upset that I couldn't get in Thursday night. I can't even tell you how sad I was. And we ended up getting tickets from someone to get in Friday morning. And we went and saw it Friday morning, and the theater was empty. There was like five people that were going to watch it that morning until the movie started, at which point every single loud, horrible POS person decided to start filing into the movie theater right as the movie started. It was... I was about to explode. I wanted to kill every human being that would even looked at me. But then everyone settled down and we got to watch it. And I remember just being, I mean, but it always happens. And I talk about it. I've talked about it on this podcast before that when Lucasfilm Limited starts coming up, I get all teary eyed. And as soon as the scroll started, because it had been so long, I just wept openly. Well, not loudly, because I didn't want to be annoying. So I just do that thing where you like convulse in your seat because you're trying to hold in your sobs because you don't want to be annoying. Oh, gosh.
Right.
I had a burrito. I brought a burrito in and I was like shaking.
You're shaking the burrito.
Yeah, like the whole thing. Because I like to eat the top off the burrito and then eat the inside out of the burrito with a fork. And then eat the outside of a burrito. And I was so shaky that I couldn't even get the fork up to my mouth without spilling all the food, but it was so good. I was so happy. I loved it.
What theater was that?
It was the 86th Street Lowe's on the east side.
East side one. It's a small one, right?
Tiny. They don't even have stadium seating. They have regular old 1990s seating.
Wow.
And my chair was broken, but the chairs are all broken there. So that's pointless to talk about. Oh, and they have assigned seats, which is also very silly because they're not stadium. They're just normal, regular, weird seats.
Mm-hmm. What, you think those deserve less reservations than stadium?
Yeah, seats? They all suck. What does it matter where you sit?
I only go to reserve seating.
Yeah, I like it because you can plan ahead like I like to do and win.
Right.
Win the seat game. And you don't have to get to the theater 2 hours early now. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only drawback, though, is that if you get stuck next to somebody who's a jerk, then you can be.
Oh, yeah.
You're stuck. But I guess assuming it's not sold out, once you can move once it starts, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway.
John Robert, my husband, knows that if anything is happening around me, I will put a swift and harsh stop to whatever it is. I have no qualms about getting up and telling someone to be quiet. I had to tell a dad and his two daughters to be quiet during Rogue One when we were watching it, because the girl was just telling a story about her day, and I was nice a couple times, and then the third time I was like, if they don't want to be here, you need to take them. You need to take them out of here right now, because I want to watch this movie, and it's ruining it.
How old are the kids?
12 and 8 or 9, are my guesses. They weren't 4. If it was a 4-year-old or even a 5-year-old, fine. I know kids chat, but when your almost teenage daughter's like, I hate this. I don't want to watch this movie. I hate this, over and over again behind my head. Woo!
You looked over and it was the internet.
Right? But The Force Awakens, I loved it. I also love all the Star Wars movies, so I remember leaving.
What's your TFA number?
It's pretty low, actually. Only because it's watching it the first couple times, you don't really notice anything new afterwards that excites you. You could be like, oh, well, that's a fun character that I see there. But I think I've seen it 5 or 6 times now, which isn't a lot for me in Star Wars.
Sure.
And I hadn't seen it in a year since I watched it before watching it for you guys.
Aw.
Yeah. But I did get teary-eyed when Han and Leia saw each other for the first time. And I got teary-eyed when Han said, Chewie, we're home. And that takes a lot because I'm on a lot of antidepressants, so it's really hard for me to cry. So the fact that I got teary-eyed is pretty awesome.
You had to go back. I need to up my meds.
Right? Just stop taking them for a week.
I almost felt something.
I need to feel again. But yeah, I'm really excited to talk about it.
Here's remember the scene where BB-8 and Finn are talking, and Finn's trying to convince him to tell him where the plans are, and then BB-8 pulls out his lighter. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Is BB-8 flipping the bird or giving the thumbs up?
So the first time I saw it, every time I saw it until this time, I thought he was flipping the bird. But then this time, the last time I watched it, I was like, that's a thumbs up.
Wow.
And I liked
it. Changed it for the video release?
No, I don't. I was watching it, I guess, from a different mindset, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where I was like, okay, well, BB-8 said that he would tell, and the guy gave him a thumbs up, and he gave him a thumbs up back. And I was like, maybe that's the first, and I saw it as the first show of friendship. Whereas before, every other time, I was like, hey, yeah, BB-8, that's awesome.
Huh.
So you were.
And I honestly don't know what changed.
You were Team Bird, and now you're Team, what was it? Team Thumb?
Team Thumb. I mean, I still want to be Team Bird. I think that's hilarious. But the thumb, as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, that was a thumbs up.
Yeah, I was Team Thumb. I was totally unaware that Team Bird even existed, but now that I know it existed, I'm switching over to Team Bird.
I think I'm going to have to watch it again.
It'll be like like one of those things where if you watch it and then it spins the other way if you think about it too hard.
Oh, right, yeah. So
you, oh, my gosh.
We'll just make a GIF where you just look at it and be like, oh, yeah, thumb, bird.
I wish they would release, like, Clue. I wish they would release, like, different versions of movies without being aware that there were alternate versions. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, they've done that with other things.
Have they?
Final Destination.
No, I mean, within Star Wars, like, there was the...
Oh!
the slow... You mean, like drastically different, or just, like, minor, like that?
I mean, like, yeah, like, simultaneously in the theater release, like, ones that have subtle little differences like that.
Right. I think with...
This is, like, so much work.
Darth Maul, the end of Phantom Menace,
uh-huh.
The way that Darth Maul was... the way Balls. That he fell... down the shaft and split into two was different. Like within the first week or two, they changed it.
I think really?
I think we talked about that. I could be wrong.
So, meaning some people saw one version of it, and some people saw the other, or
yeah,
one version was out and then it was replaced by another one.
I think it was replaced, but quickly, or like for the places that got it early, like opening night, it was one way, but then it was like, okay, let's get these out there. So okay. It could have been
so slightly different premise, but
yeah,
a similar thing.
I think both were. You just mean like have them both out there, like Clue.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess in these days of the internet, it would only take like three showings before someone would be like, no, look here, I've done a comparison of all the different differences and all right.
We've ruined everything.
People are the worst.
And the best.
Anyway.
And the best.
Well, you know who's the best? You, Crystal, for coming back on the show and sharing your thoughts about The Force Awakens. Thank you.
Of course. Yes.
And you know who else is awesome, listeners? You are, because you go to StarWarsMinute.com/Amazon whenever you're going to buy something from Amazon. That way, you know, you can kick a little bit back for your friends over here. Keeps the lights running, as they say.
Keeps the lights running?
Keep the lights running.
Yeah, I do it every time. I save it as my favorites on my tab thingy, so it goes
to... Do you really?
Oh. Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course.
It's funny because now we see everything everyone buys on Amazon. It's weird. No, that's not true. I don't want to scare people off from going to StarWarsMinute.com/Amazon. But if you really like the show, you should go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch because there you can get T-shirts and phone cases and all sorts of stuff. And
let everybody know that you like the show.
Yes, exactly.
And I feel like there should be a bounty. There should be a the first person to wear a Star Wars Minute shirt on national television gets a prize.
Ooh, what do they get? What do they get?
I don't know.
Another Star Wars Minute t-shirt.
Right.
For the next time they get on air with the Star Wars Minute shirt on.
Right. It becomes like you get to level up and the next one is harder. Because it's going to be a Star Wars Minute t-shirt with the middle finger on it. And you have to get that on national television.
Ooh.
Well, that's good.
And the end game is a thong.
Right.
Yeah. So go to our website. I'm sure we'll post details about this contest shortly. But in the meantime, we'll see you tomorrow for another Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.